Welcome, creatures of the night, to the Let Me Take You Higher podcast special edition. Tonight, we journey into the shadows, counting down the top 10 horror films that redefined fear itself. These movies didn't just give us nightmares, they left a lasting mark on cinema, raking in millions at the box office and setting the gold standard for terror. With me today is Alex, a bona fide horror fanatic that can tell you directors, screenwriters, all the goods on these films. He's a diehard horror fan who lives for Halloween and Whitney Houston. An interesting mix, if you ask me. And then we have our co-host, Gigi Luigi, our always insightful co-host with a razor-sharp take on every horror trope. So dim the lights, embrace yourself. This is one countdown that you won't want to miss and that'll haunt you until next Halloween.
That make us kneel, say Carpenter's thing in Arctic freeze. Trust no one, beware of disease. These flicks, they play on fears we hide. They're lurking here right by our side, hey. Top 10 terrorist tales of fright, bringing nightmares to life tonight. Alex, Gigi, and Mr. Bill and say these horror flicks don't fade away, hey. You're in Music Box Melody, until the lights go out. Careful what you watch, cause they're here now. Monsters in the night, creeping ever near. Horror legends live on and feeding on a fear. Monsters in the night, lurking out of sight. The fear you feel is really hiding in the light, hey.
Hey guys, welcome back to the Let Me Take You Higher podcast. My name is Mr. Villain, and today you're in for a treat. We've got some of the most horror enthusiastic people on the planet today with us, and what we're going to discuss is the top 10 greatest films that have to do with the horror genre of the last 35, maybe 40 years. And Gigi, are you there?
Oh, you know I'm here. I'm right here.
And then we also have Mr. Alex C. coming in from California. Alex, are you there?
I'm here.
All right. So, if you guys don't know, we're pretty much horror fanatics. This happens to be October, which is the month for horror. Guys, what do you think about Halloween? Are you guys Halloween kind of guys, or are you more Christmassy?
Definitely. Halloween, for sure.
Okay. All right. I get you there. And I do.
I was going to say, however, this, for some reason this year, Halloween doesn't feel as exciting as it normally is. And I don't know if that's because of everything that's changed since the pandemic, but
yeah,
it doesn't really feel like Halloween this year. You know what I mean?
Okay.
However, but I'm still excited for it and I still got a costume.
Are you going to, what are you dressing up as is what I want to know.
I have a Scooby-Doo mascot head.
Mascot head?
You know, like mascots for the thing that they put on their head.
Oh yeah. Okay, so you're going as Scooby-Doo.
Yeah, and so that thing is a mascot.
No, wait. Okay, so let me just ask a question. If you're going as Scooby-Doo, and I mean, I know, how old are you? Can I ask how old you are?
35.
Okay, so you're 35 year old man. Now, before we get started, guys, I want to put this out there. Now, how tall are you? What are you, like 5'8", 5'9"?
I'm 5'3".
Okay, wow. So, okay. I have a dog, an actual real dog, that's about 5'3". I'm just going to say that I think that's an excellent costume. What kind of candy do you want to get?
Shoot. I don't know. There's all kinds of good candy.
All right. And Gigi, what are you going to be this Halloween? I know you got a costume somewhere on here.
I don't know yet. I haven't really put much thought into it. I've been so busy with the move and everything. Lost on me there. Okay. I might just do what I usually do when I don't have a costume and do what God gave me and be a nudist, you know?
Okay. I mean, I think that'll push some buttons, but it'll still be pretty good. Okay. So you always make a statement, which I love. So guys, now we're talking about our main discussion here. Is a top 10 horror movies of all time. So if you guys just want to get into it, let's get it and go. And I understand that some of you guys are not going to agree, but I'm just going to ramble out the numbers like we did in our Sugary Spoons episode with the Saturday morning cartoon. Same way, same format. So let's begin. All right. So coming in at number 10, guys, we have a movie that I watched, but only learned so much more after the fact. It's called The Babadook. Anybody heard of this movie, The Babadook?
Yes.
Okay.
This one I had
what, are thoughts? What are your thoughts on this movie?
Well,
yeah.
This movie is terrifying and relatable.
Okay.
You're not just afraid of the monster, you're afraid of what it represents. And for a low-budget film, it achieves something remarkable.
Okay.
There is emotional depth.
Yeah.
There's strong performance and psychological horror.
Okay, so you're invested into this film. Now let's go on. Let's let the audience know this box office for this particular film was $10.3 million on a budget of $2 million. So in the horror genre, that's actually pretty good for 2014. But the facts behind this movie: it was directed by Jennifer Kent. The Babadook gained critical acclaim for its psychological horror and themes of grief and trauma. This indie horror became an instant classic and even sparked a cult following with the LGBTQRSL community. Now, let me just say, I can make fun of them because I am a part of that community, so it's okay. But I didn't really like the film. It wasn't my thing. Gigi, have you ever seen? Yeah, I just wasn't. No. Gigi, did you see The Babadook?
I've never even heard of it.
You never heard it. So if you spell Babadook backwards, it's crooked cock. I don't know. I mean, I just wanted to just throw it out there for you, just in case you didn't see it.
What?
If you spell it backwards, it's what is it? Dyslexic.
That's I can see that. Yeah. That's the Cootababa.
You see Cootababa and Cunty Rose. Here's the thing. So the pros on this film, guys: emotional depth, strong performances, and psychological horror. The cons: some viewers find it's pacing too slow. Traditional horror movie taste. So
I agree with that. It definitely was very slow paced.
Yeah, okay. Well, I might watch it again just to get reinvigorated, but I doubt if it's gonna happen. I really doubt it. Okay, guys, coming in at number 9, one of my all-time favorite movies of all time. Anytime I would have a date and they came to the house, I'd make popcorn. A little hot sauce in the popcorn, some jelly beans. Wait. No. You guys don't do that? No.
Not jelly beans.
Hot sauce. No jelly beans. That's called a hot Jack and Belly bean. I think it's a hot Jack and Belly bean. Okay, guys.
So the Texas Chainsaw Massacre, the original came out in 1974. Damn. Who was alive in 1974 on the phone? Any of us? I'm not claiming that shit, even if I was. That's a couple of centuries ago. But the box office... I'm off by a couple of numbers. But the box office was over $30 million on a budget of $140,000. Now, the Texas Chainsaw Massacre house, I live near it. It's about 20 miles, I think, east of us. And let me tell you, you can actually, it's an Airbnb now. You can actually sleep over there. They have a restaurant with, I'm being serious, like with barbecue fingers. Like they really get into it. The facts about this movie, guys, if you didn't know, it's known for its gritty realism and influence on the slasher genre. The Texas Chainsaw Massacre is often regarded as one of the most disturbing horror films ever made. Leatherface became an icon of horror, and the film's handheld style set a new tone for the genre. So, Alex, let me ask you, what do you think of this film, and do you think it should be lower on the list? Why is it coming in at number 9?
I think it should actually be higher, honestly, because this Leatherface is definitely, or AKA Thomas Hewitt, is definitely a slasher icon.
Oh, yeah.
This movie was a game changer. You could almost feel the heat, the grime.
Mm-hmm.
It was low budget horror done right.
Yeah. I mean, it was one of the, I think it was like the first slasher movie. I mean, am I right?
Yeah. And the quality of that was definitely different from John Carpenter's Halloween 1978.
John Carpenter, I don't know how you guys feel about John Carpenter, but the guy wrote my whole life story. Not that I'm a sociopath, which terrible lives. It's a little weird. But okay, that's a good mention there. Gigi, I know you're I know you love horror movies. What did you think about the original horror movie, The Texas Chainsaw Massacre?
Oh, I definitely think it needs to be higher. It's definitely iconic. I remember my mom and like my all the neighborhood moms told the kids that, you know, they never actually caught Leatherface and that he's actually still out there. And like we would go camping and he'd be like, he was last seen in Virginia where we're camping at, and he's like wandering the woods. So like, no, I know Leatherface very well.
Oh yeah, that's so fucking.
I'm surprised he's not in the top 5.
Yeah, bro, I'm surprised it's not top 2. I mean, it started the whole genre. Like, but here's the pros on this, guys. It's a gritty realism, relentless terror, iconic villain. They also have a video game after this guy. But the cons on this, some find it too grotesque and disturbing, even for horror standards. I, for one, loved that shit when I was 7 years old. You know, it explains a lot, but it's a great movie. And I think, like you guys said, lower or higher, it should be closer to number 1. Either way, you shake it. Guys, coming in at number 8 is everyone's favorite. If you like little girls getting their heads chopped off, it's called Hereditary. Have you guys seen Hereditary?
I have not personally
seen
it. I know what it is.
Okay, so I may have given away a little bit of the plot for you or something, but to me, it has one of the most horrific scenes. Anytime you kill kids, I shouldn't even go there. But anytime you kill kids in horror movies, you're only going to get one of two emotions. Either utter joy from parents. No, I don't even think that would happen. But either no one likes killing kids and dogs. You guys remember Gage, right? From Pet Sematary?
Wait, hold on. Gage from Pet Sematary?
Yeah, Gage from Pet Sematary. Do you remember this? You remember Pet Sematary, right?
Oh, it's been years. That's I had to revisit that one.
Okay.
Yeah, that's another classic.
But that is definitely a classic. That's the best classic you can find, especially for you. So Pet Sematary is about a place where people take their animals to be reborn. You know, they usually come back as zombies or something crazy like that. And then the guy's kid, Gage, gets hit by an 18-wheeler. On a busy highway. So he buries his kid in Pet Sematary. Of course, the kid comes back, but he comes back as some kind of crazy monster and just starts wreaking havoc, man. If you've never seen it, it's a classic. Yeah.
That makes sense, though, because there's a theory that people say that when you allegedly die a violent death, that your soul kind of stays, or your spirit stays stuck, like,
in the between,
in between,
mm-hmm.
Yes, and the grudge. That gives an example of like how that goes.
Oh, for sure, man. And
that definitely speaks about that, because that's basically what happened in that too. The person died of violent death and they came back obviously angry.
Yeah. And they got stuck like in the, what do they call the not the forever. I just watched this movie, The Red Door, and they call it the, have you ever watched that series where they go into the in between, the further? They call it the further, right? So.
Ooh, I have not heard of that, but now that you're telling me, I think I'm going to check that out.
Wait. You've never heard of this movie? They got like four or five of them. JG, what is that movie called where the guy can astral plane himself and he goes into like the further, the limbo movie?
No.
You guys never heard
Wow.
Now I never heard the movie.
It's gonna take my time. I know this movie.
What is it called? The Further. It has that little old lady who's in it, and she was fucking, she's been like every episode of it. It's been like, I think there's four or five of them now. My goodness, it's gonna come to me like way later. People
are
what the fuck is that? Well, anyway, that's a Hereditary, because I have to think about it. But the box office for Hereditary, $82 million on a budget of $10 million. Here's
Insidious.
The fact.
Insidious.
Huh?
Insidious.
Insidious.
Oh, well, Insidious.
Insidious.
Okay. I was like, what am I losing my mind? So Ari Aster's Hereditary earned a reputation for its shocking twists and deeply unsettling themes of family trauma. The film was praised for Toni Collette's unforgettable performance, which was, she's really good, man, which brought out an intense emotional weight to the horror. This isn't just a horror, it's devastating. Aster made us feel trapped in the character's pain, and that's what makes it terrifying. The pros in this movie, guys: haunting atmosphere, slow burn horror, strong performances. The slow pace can be polarizing, but for those who stick around, there's a payoff, and the payoff is when that little girl loses her head. Okay, so I know it sounds horrible, but it's horror, guys. I mean, it's not bad when it's horror, right?
No, it's horror, but you know, some people are kind of indifferent about watching, you know, children be killed in a movie. However, I do respect directors that would take that into consideration,
yeah,
and choose to have it done off screen.
Well,
you know what I mean.
I get that.
Like Terrifier 3, the opening scene, I promise you, I'm not going to go into a whole lot of
don't piss people off.
He did the right thing to do certain things off screen.
Yeah, because that, I mean, from what I'm hearing about that film, and I don't want to give it away, and guys, the only spoilers you're going to hear tonight is the movies you should have already watched. They're like 30, 40 years old. They're classics. But I heard some disturbing shit about the Terrifier 3. I'm not going to get into
it's very violent.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. Yes. Yeah, it's going to be Terrifier. It's a violent series.
Have you seen the whole Terrifier? I know you have. But Gigi, have you seen the whole Terrifier series? Like the whole 1, 2, and then now there's 3.
More than just the 3. There was Archetype was actually introduced before that, and I haven't seen that yet. I think it was like All Hallows Eve or some short film.
Okay. Gigi, have you seen all 3 of them? I haven't. I've seen one.
I've seen one as well. I haven't seen the second one yet.
Yeah. The guy is like chopping off her vagina. I mean, come on, guys. What are we doing? Okay, so number seven. Look, so this number seven, I think, Alex, you're going to love it. I think you're going to love it. So number seven, Halloween, the original 1978 production. Box office is at $70 million. The budget for this role of Jamie Lee Curtis's life that she keeps reviving and arriving is $325,000. So they killed it. And this is John Carpenter's Halloween. Defined the slasher genre and introduced Jamie Lee Curtis to audiences that didn't even know who she was. Now, they say that he defined the genre, but we know that Texas Chainsaw Massacre came a little bit before this, and that's kind of when the slashing happened. But we won't go for facts. Exorcist. Don't even get me started on that one. But this is the iconic score composed by Carpenter himself has since became synonymous with Halloween. So, Alex.
It's probably my favorite. It's the whole score, the score for the movie is what really tied it together.
Okay.
I'm definitely a fan of the Halloween theme song. Anytime you hear it, you just know it's.
Doesn't it go like. Shh, shh.
Yeah. Yep, that's Jason.
Is that the one?
Yeah. That's Friday 13th.
Oh, sorry. My bad. No, I know.
Friday 13th, buddy.
I'm playing.
That's a. Nope. Do, do, I can't even do it now. I can't even think of it. I can hear it in my head. I can hear it in my head, but I can't do it.
Come on, guys. That's a classic. You got to know.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Halloween is definitely one of the best Russian movies, and it definitely defined a genre.
Okay.
There wasn't any fancy effects. And honestly, if you really look, you know, a lot of these horror movies, they kind of overdo it with blood.
Yes.
But you really do not. You don't see blood in this movie, except for maybe just that quick scene of when he murdered his sister at the beginning.
Yeah. There's not a lot of blood. No, I won't. No, honestly, didn't he smash people's heads too? Because I've seen those scenes. Are you talking about the original? Oh, okay, okay.
In the original, though, itself.
Yeah.
Because we're talking about, you know, with there not being any, a lot of fancy effects.
Yeah, that's true.
It was done so right. And, you know, that's a good way to go out with a movie to not have to overdo it with blood.
And I know for a fact you really love Halloween. Because I've seen your social media posts. And I know you love this movie. Like, it's weird.
But I was very disappointed, though, with the last installment. I feel like Blumhouse could have done a lot better.
Okay.
If they were sticking to the same track they were on when they released Halloween 2018, which was the sequel follow-up to 1978, excusing everything else that happened after.
Right, yeah. No, there were some... They dropped the ball on a lot of stuff. We'll just say that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. And then, like, Halloween Kills, too, I didn't really care for a lot of the dialogue in that.
Yeah.
It was overdone.
Okay.
The hospital scene was excessive, too, and kind of didn't really see how that fit the...
Yeah.
You know.
Well, I mean, the original movie was done in a hospital, because remember, she had that crazy...
Yeah.
Okay. But I mean,
it's just crazy with this one because, like, they just have everybody running around like headless chickens in there.
Yeah, headless chickens.
And then they don't even know who, like, Michael is, and they confuse him with somebody else that's a lot shorter than him and in a more heavier.
With Jason Voorhees. Like, yeah, I know.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, I knew you would have a lot to say about this particular. And well, what do you feel it's a number 7 out of 10?
I would say that it should be up higher. It should be like somewhere within like the top 3.
Okay. Well, okay. I get you there. What do you think, Gigi? Is this a same. Number 7?
I'll say eight? Same. Well, no. I say same, higher on the list. I'll say again, top 5. I think Texas Chainsaw Massacre and Halloween both deserve higher spots.
Well, yeah, I mean, there's been a lot of good ones, guys, and there's only 10 spots. I mean, I don't make the rules, but let's just put it like that.
Well, you better start writing the rules.
Well, give us a try.
You're shit.
You're fired. Here, pros, masterful tension building, groundbreaking for slashers. The cons on this movie, however, some argue that the plot is simplistic, but it's an effective kind of simplicity because that simplicity gave us so many spawns of this as sequel after sequel after sequel. All right, guys. So one of my favorites coming up. When I was a kid, this shit scared the fuck out of me. Sorry, Mom, if you're listening. I didn't mean to curse. Number 6, A Nightmare on Elm Street, 1984. The box office is $57 million, guys. Budget of $1.1 million. The facts on this, and the legendary Wes Craven created a terrifying new villain in Freddy Krueger, who haunts his victims' dreams. A Nightmare on Elm Street blurred the line between reality and nightmares, with innovative effects that captivated audiences. Alex, I say you, sir. What do you feel about this beautiful film?
It's definitely a terrifying movie.
Yeah.
I remember it as a kid.
Yeah.
And I used to have nightmares of it, not going to lie.
Yeah.
And I would have to say that the scariest scene in that movie for me was probably the part where he had the extended long arms and chasing in the alleyway.
Yes.
That was scary.
And who could forget?
I don't know what I would do if I had someone running after me like that.
Bro, I'll tell you what you do. We won't go into it. But who can forget a very young Johnny Depp? Oh, I won't even go into it, but that's what kept me at my attention at 5 years old.
I would say that's like one of the highlights of not highlights, but most memorable aspects of that movie.
Yes, Johnny Depp looking extra Johnny Deppish.
Come on. Everyone had the most blood and throughout that whole movie that had probably
Yeah, and I mean, I don't even think anybody ever asked Johnny Depp how did he... I mean, that was his first film. And no one ever really talks to him about it anymore. I don't know why, but it's still a classic.
But people probably forget. A lot of people don't even know that that's his first movie.
That's the first movie.
I know.
I mean, Kevin Bacon was in Jason. That was his one of his first films.
That's right, he was.
Yeah. I mean, he's one. That's a great scene anyway. Yeah, the second Jason 2, I think. I think it's the one where he came in. Yeah, it had to be two. I don't think it was with his mother, but I'm sure, because I haven't seen it yet. He should be in it somewhere, I would hope. But the pros in this movie, guys, it's a unique concept, dreamlike horror, charismatic villain, like myself. And then the cons, the later sequels diluted the original's horror. Like, Dreamweaver, which one was that one? With the Dream Children? What the fuck? I mean, I did like it. Dream Warriors. Yeah.
That's definitely one of my other favorite installments in the franchise.
Really? Dream Warriors?
Because, like, it was cool to see with their powers and stuff and how they together to try to stop it.
I'll give you that. Yeah, you're right. Okay. But here's my all-time favorite, and I believe Gigi Luigi had a girlfriend that actually started, she had the starring role in this film. It's called, and it comes in at number five, guys, The Exorcist, 1973. Box office is $441 million. The budget on this one was $12 million. The Exorcist was a groundbreaking in its use of special effects and graphic imagery, pushing boundaries in mainstream cinema. Audiences reportedly fainted during screenings and became the highest grossing horror film of its time. I remember hearing something where Richard Pryor and Mr. Mooney, who used to write for Richard Pryor, who's since deceased, rest in peace, they went in to see this movie on its opening night, and they both threw up and ran out of the theater. So if you guys like comedy, that's a great story. What do you guys feel about that? What do you guys feel about the situation with the old Exorcist? Gigi, you can go first. I know you got a lot to talk about with it.
Well, I honestly, this is another one of the classics I haven't seen, believe it or not. I've always wanted to see it, but for some reason, I just never found myself having the opportunity.
Are you being serious right now?
Oh, yeah.
You've never seen me? Oh, you're like, oh, yeah. So that whole joke about your girlfriend or ex, it's not going to play well here, then. Good grief.
I know some aspects of the movie, obviously, and you are correct.
That bitch can sling some throw up. Here's the thing. Alex, I know you like Exorcist, and I know you've seen this movie. You had to have. Have you?
Yes, I have seen The Exorcist.
Okay, how do you feel about it?
I've seen it more than enough times.
I bet you have.
I like it. It's actually an interesting movie. It just starts off really slow. Things don't really pick up until like later on in the middle.
Yeah, they're going.
It is definitely a masterpiece itself because it goes more into not so much of slasher. It's more dealing with demonic possession.
Suspense,
which is real.
Yeah, well, yeah. That's what the demons say.
Throwing up the green pea soup, that was definitely a fun effect.
Well, she's like, fuck me, father, fuck me! And she starts stabbing herself in the vaginal region.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
With the crucifix.
Yeah.
See, that, I think that was a little bit extreme. I don't think that they did it together.
Well, it is what it is. Yeah, it is what it is.
They made it a creepy moment.
Mm-hmm.
But let us not forget the infamous spider walk down the stairs.
Oh, backwards.
A deleted scene, yeah.
That was a deleted scene, yeah. So, I mean, I forget the guy who made the book, but just so everybody knows, like three or four people who made that film died under really weird supernatural whatevers, but it was a lot going on. But the pros in this groundbreaking movie was its effects, intense atmosphere and suspense. And it was a thriller too, along with being a horror. And then the cons on this one, the pacing feels slow to some, like Alex, but its legacy is undisputed. I mean, always going to be top five for the rest of eternity, I would imagine. Now, guys, are there any Stephen King fanatics on the phone? I mean, are you guys into Stephen King?
I like some of his stuff. I think that the original It was a masterpiece.
Yes, I agree. Gigi, have you seen any Stephen King stuff?
Oh, yeah, I've seen The Shining. I've seen...
He said The Shining, so that's our number four of all time, The Shining, 1980. The box office for this movie was $47 million. The budget is $19 million, so it did make its money back for 1980 standards. Stanley Kubrick's adaptation of Stephen King's novel is revered for its psychological depth, Nicholson's performance, and Kubrick's cinematography to create an unforgettable descent into madness. So, Alex, tell us some stuff about this movie. I know you've seen it.
Or The Shining?
Yeah, The Shining by Mr. Stephen King. I mean, it's his book, but it's Stanley Kubrick's.
Nicholson was definitely, nobody can redo that role.
No.
Definitely like one of those standalone actors that he delivered, and mm-hmm. it's not a role that could be redone or better than what he delivered.
No, and yeah.
He traumatized that the actress on that in that yeah, scene.
Yes.
Yeah. When
with the axe on the door. The door.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh yeah.
He was absolutely terrified. That was a real reaction.
Yeah, because they kept her sleep deprived for like a day and a half, and then they made her shoot that scene over 100 times. So, I mean, but Cooper was a genius. But I mean, you get what you pay for, and that's why that's such a classic film and that's a classic role. And I think her name was Shirley. I don't really get hate mail. I don't remember. I know she just passed away. But rest in peace to her. And she did an amazing job. But the pros on this movie is his iconic performance by Nicholson, of course. Eerie atmosphere. The cons, fans of the novel were divided over Kubrick's changes, because he made a lot of changes. But it stands as a horror masterpiece. And Stephen King did not like this film. He said that it wasn't like the original that he wrote. So just so you guys know. Stephen King was not a fan, still isn't. And so many years later. So, oh, guys, you're going to love this one. So, number three, and I've been in interracial relationships a lot in my life, but number three is Get Out, 2017. Box office, $255 million on a budget of $4.5 million. Anybody seen Get Out, the movie? Any takers?
I actually haven't.
So what it is, it's an interracial couple. And she is the white lady. She's taking her black boyfriend to meet their family in like Kennebunkport, Maine or something crazy like that. Anyway, so her family are a family of white people who hypnotize black people and turn them back into slaves. Pretty much. This is what I'm gathering from it. And it's Jordan Peele's debut. And if you don't know who Keenan and Jordan
Peele is. Oh, yeah.
Okay.
I do remember this movie. I haven't seen it, but I wanted to.
You have to see if you're in an interracial. Well, it would be. Well, I guess it doesn't. Does it have to be with interracial dating, Alex? Have you seen it?
I have not actually watched it all the way through, but I know what the movie is.
Yeah. So this is, like I said, it's Jordan Peele's debut as a horror director, because you know he's a horror director. It has a lot of social humor, a lot of social horror to the mainstream audiences, addressing racial tensions in America. The film's cultural commentary. Go ahead.
Usually what he writes about.
Yeah, I mean, because somebody's got to talk about it. I mean, we live in it. And it's a psychological horror, earned an Academy Award for Best Original Screenplay. So, Alex, tell me, I know you didn't finish the film, but why didn't you finish it? Let's start with that.
I think I got busy.
Yeah, okay. It wasn't because it was bad, right? Or was you didn't like it?
Because I never heard bad reviews about it, so it's not that I didn't like it. I just have to sit down and actually like watch it all the way through.
Yeah, but it's an Oscar. I mean, it seemed
pretty intense.
Yeah, I mean, it got an Oscar. I mean, it won the best original screenplay, which is not too shabby. And I know that now that Gigi knows about it, he's going to be dying to watch this film over Halloween. It wasn't scary; it was just psychological drama, pretty much.
Well, I love psychological horror. That's my favorite.
Oh, is it really? Okay.
Oh, yeah.
What's your favorite psychological drama or horror?
I would have to say A Haunting on Hill House.
Oh, that is good. God damn it. I have to watch all these movies by myself.
Well, that was like a whole series. That was it's really good. I would highly recommend that one. And then they have a season three out, Follow the House of Usher. That's another great one. It's all based on Alan Poe.
You told me about it, and it was really good, guy. I'm telling you, dude, that shit was good. I was like, wow, G's got some chops on this shit. And I watched it. It was really good. I watched it all the way straight one day. So, and if you guys haven't seen The House of Usher, you gotta check it out. It's really good. So
I keep hearing about that one, too.
You need to watch it. It's not that it's crazy, but it makes your mind like think, like, damn.
Each episode is based off of work on Edgar Allan Poe.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And like it kind of like ties into like the story and has like themes throughout it. It's really good. I liked it a lot. A lot of depth.
I may have to watch that again, actually, because you know You never. It's like if you ever heard this thing. It's an old Southern saying. Black South is if you go to the crossroads to make a deal with the devil. You ever heard of that?
Yeah.
No.
Okay. Yeah. So that's kind of for me. That's what I took from it. They made a deal with. I won't say the devil because that's so.
That is exactly what happened.
But that's what happened. It wasn't at a crossroads, but yeah, it was good though.
Yeah, it was like, wasn't that like a diner? No. It was at like a bar. Work party.
Yes, yeah. At a party. There was a bar. Yeah, it was good though. But we're not going to give any of it away. You got to see it. So now, guys, for that particular situation, we're at number two. Oh gosh, this went by quick. The Thing, one of the greatest horror movies of all time. My granddad's and my favorite. Every time he came on HBO. Another John Carpenter film. God bless John Carpenter. And rest in peace. Is John Carpenter dead?
Oh, well, shit.
Let me take that back. Reel that back in.
He's actually, I think he's going to take part in the, you know, working with the production companies that's supposed to be making the Halloween TV series.
Oh.
Some of these slasher films are.
Well, Freddy, they have ones for Freddy now, too. Freddy has a slasher film thing. I think it's on not Netflix, but Hulu, The Making of Freddy or something. Elm Street, it's called.
The Legend. Oh, okay.
Yeah, well, yeah.
See, but this is going to be like a series, though. Like, you know what I mean? Like, giving back stories of that. You know, like Chucky had, you know, his TV series.
Yeah, they canceled it.
And it started with Scream, though. Yeah, after three seasons.
Yeah.
So Scream was the first one to start this trend of doing a series in hopes of letting that lead to a motion picture.
Right.
And that's basically what they want to do with the Halloween franchise too, to do it as a TV series and after one season, then do a film and then release a second season and so forth.
Right.
That's the direction that a lot of these horror slashers or franchises are going with.
Yeah. And they're starting to do prequels too.
Very much involved in that too. And I think that he's still going to be involved with doing like the music, you know, which he should because he made it what it is.
Yeah. No, I get you. I get you. And I love John Carpenter. Like, I thought he was dead. I was all fearful and scared. But what's the other guy, the other director who died, who did Freddy? And I think he did Wes Craven. Oh, I love Wes Craven, man. That guy is amazing. Anyway, so The Thing, 1982, box office, $19.6 million. The budget, with a budget of $15 million. Ooh, that's not good. But the facts, although initially not a hit, John Carpenter's The Thing gained a cult status. I'm in the cult for its intense paranoia and mind-blowing practical effects with creature designs that continue to inspire horror to this very day. The isolation, the mistrust, it was a psychological nightmare wrapped up in a body of horror. Carpenter's vision still holds up to this very day. What are the pros in this, guys? What do you guys think about The Thing? Have you guys seen The Thing?
Yes, if I remember correctly.
Yeah.
Wasn't it like an alien?
Yes.
That was somewhere where there's like ice.
Antarctica.
No.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the alien came down, and it was a shape-shifting alien, and it would inhabit a body, and you couldn't tell the difference. The only way you could figure out who the alien was is because all the tissue was united. So you'd have to like heat up a piece of metal and draw people's blood and then stick the hot poker in the metal, and the alien, that's how you knew who had the alien inside of them. It's a fucking classic. Gigi, tell me you've seen this movie.
Oh, I went out a long, long time ago. That's the thing. A lot of these movies, the classics, I've seen a long time ago.
Oh, yeah. They're the greatest. They're the greatest of all times. Times don't ever end. But so the pros of this, guys, incredible effects, suspenseful atmosphere. The cons, critically panned at first, now recognized as a true classic. And may my granddad rest in peace. We love this film. It's one of our favorites. But guys, are you ready for number one? Because I know I am. Let's get her done. Psycho, 1960, is the number one movie by AFI and all the relative things that matter in our horrific universe. Everyone says that Psycho is number one of all time. Now, before I get into this one, where's Aliens? Where's Alien? I'm an Aliens fan. I don't see it on this list. Is there anything that you guys noticed that's done on the list that you thought would have been number one or just in the top 10?
In the top 10... I'm surprised, honestly, that we don't see Jason. Like, at least in the up
no, Jason.
Towards the top.
That's true. Friday the 13th is not on this list.
Yeah.
No, yeah, that's another one.
Scream's not on this list either. Mm-mm. Who else is it? There's something else. Chucky ain't on here?
Poltergeist.
Like Child Play? Child's Play's not on here.
I'm surprised Gremlins? Poltergeist.
Well, Gremlins. Oh, Poltergeist. My goodness. That should be like top 10 for sure. That shit. People actually died on the set of that. Just like,
yeah, I know. That's why.
A lot of shit went down on Poltergeist.
I like the variety of this list because it's not just all, you know, just all slashers. It's also other stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's, I mean, Psycho, I mean, that if you what, Psych, okay, so let me just put this in perspective. Your favorite actress from Halloween, her mom starred in Psycho, Janet Leigh, and Janet Leigh was, yeah, Janet Leigh was scared for the rest of her life taking showers after Psycho. She could never.
I was scared taking showers as a kid, watching the movie. Are you kidding me? Pop behind the shower curtain. What was that?
Like, you can always see something like hurt, like lurking around the shower curtains. It's like, goddamn. Okay, so Psycho is our number one psycho film. The original, though. Yeah, right? Yeah, right. The box office on this, guys, is $50 million in 1960. That's crazy. The budget was only $806,000. So here's some facts about Hitchcock's famous Psycho. It redefined horror with its plot twist and the iconic shower scene, which we talked about, which left audiences in shock. It laid the groundwork for the slasher genre and remains influential to this very day. And that was 70 years ago or something almost. So, Alex, tell me some things you know about Psycho. Not the people that we date, because we date a lot of Psycho. You know, the other stuff.
No, about Psycho.
Yeah. Well, Gigi could attest to this shit too. We all dated some Psycho. Psycho.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
Psycho is definitely
Psycho killer.
Yeah.
That is, you know,
it's, you know, super creepy. At
some ran down hotel.
Yeah.
And then you're taking a shower only for that some creep to come in, pull the shower curtain open,
and start stabbing the shit out of you. And there was a series on, I think it was on Hulu or Paramount, whatever. It was a, I think it was like, it lasted for like six.
I think it was called The Bates Motel.
The Bates Motel. Did you watch it?
Yeah, Bates Motel.
I tried you. My mom liked it.
Into the series.
Okay. No, I didn't watch the series either. I think I watched like half the first season, actually.
Did you?
I didn't finish it.
I mean, I watched about two episodes. I thought it was pretty decent, but I just couldn't.
Yeah, I didn't see it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But again, the pros on this is groundbreaking direction, psychological tension, and the cons. Some younger audiences may find it dated. It is kind of dated, but that's a beautiful thing. But it's essential horror. It's essential in the history of horror. You know what I'm saying? So, but
yeah, these are the things that paved the way for all the other ones that came after.
Yeah, yeah. So, Gigi, what's the hot take on all we've come to learn today about the greatest horror movies of all time? Although they're missing a lot of good ones, but I can understand that everybody can't be in the top 10.
I mean, honestly, the hot take is, like, there's so many different types of horror, whether you want to play on the psychological, the thrill of the slashers.
Uh-huh.
Like, there's so many different ways to, like, and it's all a ride, you know? It's kind of like an amusement park, in a sense. You get on a roller coaster, like, you kind of get, like, that fear of your life, the adrenaline rush, and it's just all good fun. So, it's just really cool how many layers there are to, like, playing with someone's like psyche, I guess, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
To invoke that fear.
And you're super right, because it doesn't mean you're a psycho because you like horror movies, Alex. No, I'm just kidding. Anyway. Psychopath. All right, Alex, you're up. What do you think is the hot mic or the takeaway on what we learned today about the 10 greatest horror movies of all time?
Well, I'll always argue that horror doesn't need to be complicated.
Right.
Sometimes love. Visceral fear, like a slasher movie, it's hard to see.
Right.
And
well, I mean, and you're right. I mean, horror movies just about unaliving people. I mean, to use today's terminology, how many people can you unalive in an hour? I mean, and what kind of weapon are you going to use to do this? So, with all that being said, it's absolutely true. But the deep dive on this, guys, psychological versus physical fear. Do we fear what we don't see, like in The Babadook? Or the raw terror.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would say so. Or the raw terror of an unstoppable villain like myself. No, I'm just kidding. Like Michael Myers. There's cultural relevance for this, guys. Get Out addressed racism. The Exorcist tapped into religious fervor and fears. Horror often mirrors societal anxieties. The innovation from Hitchcock's Psycho to Carpenter's The Thing Each era in horror brings new techniques, concepts, and effects to keep us terrified. Are you scared? No, just kidding. So what we're going to do, guys, for our listeners out there, we want to know what scares you. And you can email us at letmetakeyouhigherpodcast@gmail.com. What horror movie frightened you that you didn't see on the list? And if you tell us the one that you liked and we agree, we might send you out a prize. So let us know who you are, what you're doing, what horror movies kind of enlightened your day. And if you're a true horror fanatic like Alex and Gigi here, and of course myself, we close with this. Horror will always have a place in our hearts and our nightmares. Whether you love psychological horror or pure adrenaline pumping slashers, there's a horror film for everyone. Just remember, the next time you turn off the lights and then you hear a bump at the night, you might not be by yourself. You might be surrounded. You might want to run. So that's been me, Mr. Villain, for Gigi, Luigi, and Alex. We'll see you next time. And that's a wrap on this episode of Let Me Take You Higher, the podcast. Big thanks to our special guests and a huge shout out to our incredible sponsors. You guys are literally the wind beneath our podcast wings. Remember, this show was dreamed up and brought to life by yours truly, Mr. Villain, and it's all made possible by BC Entertainment LLC, a proud subsidiary of Big Cheddar Music LLC. All rights are reserved by BC Entertainment, so don't even think about touching that dial without permission. Until next time, keep your minds elevated and your vibes higher. This is Mr. Villain signing off. Stay tuned, stay sharp, and stay forever gifted and lifted.
Stories unfold.